This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair old Beijing, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean.
This is Front Row in a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last evening, a handful of us from BFM, together with a couple of invited guests, strong-armed our way into a dress rehearsal of Seafood Productions' Lo Mio and Juliet, which spoofs the Bard's famous and oft-read and oft-performed play of star-crossed lovers Romeo and Juliet. The show opens today and runs over 2 weekends. Right after watching the dress rehearsal, we sat outside Pentas 2 in the library area, and amidst the KL-packed personnel closing up and slamming shut doors and gates, we talked about what we saw.
Have you all read the play?
Yes, I've read the play.
A collective yes.
Yes, I've read the play.
How does reading the play give you a view into what's going on in this production?
For myself, as only speaking English, it helped me to stop reading the subtitles and watch the actors and their body language to understand their rendition of the play a lot better.
Yeah, no, I think that everyone knows the basic story of Romeo and Juliet. I mean, they set it out in the very first speech of the entire play, but I think if you don't know much about the various story arcs, sort of the various ways the play is chunked together, then I think you might have trouble following.
Agreed.
How would you describe this production? What was he trying to achieve?
I think he's trying to be really clever to reinvent or reinterpret something that people are very familiar with. Like, even if you don't appreciate or if you don't learn Shakespeare or like anything Shakespeare, the one piece of his work that people are most familiar with is Romeo and Juliet. And I think that what they're trying to do is to have their own interpretation of it. And there's a lot of attempts at doing things that are meta and a lot of trying to do some parody. There's a lot of attempts with humor, which there's some hits and some misses, in my opinion.
I'm going to agree with that. I also think that aside from the moments of humor, I think they were also trying for moments of seriousness. And I think those, sadly, were also hit and miss. You know, there were, at some points, I think things that should have landed with gravity didn't. I do think it was an attempt at sort of having a mishmash. You know, just throwing a bunch of styles at the wall for a very familiar piece and seeing what stuck. And I guess depending on how much you enjoyed the play, I don't know how much you might think stuck or didn't stick.
What about the mixture of, you know, using lines from Shakespeare and then playing them somewhat seriously as if you would play a Romeo and Juliet and then contemporary English and contemporary Cantonese, some kind of an Americanized Cantonese or something like that? How does that gel together?
I think it gels together very interestingly, and it's nice to see a traditional play be done in a completely different manner.
I don't think that works for me. I think that a lot of the cadence and the rhythm was off, particularly in terms of how the surtitles matched up with the Cantonese. I also think that they're the bones of a very funny Cantonese parody in this. I think that if they had dedicated themselves to that, because I do think that the most natural performances and the most natural jokes actually came in the moments where they were using Cantonese and Mandarin, and neither of those were reflected in the English surtitles. I'm fortunate to understand it. I think if I didn't, I would have missed out on a fair amount of the humor, actually. Do you agree with that?
Well, I must have, because I don't speak that language.
But did it work for you, like having to read the surtitles and kind of trying to transfer your attention between what's happening and reading?
And sometimes it did, but sometimes it didn't, because also the stage was set up in a very interesting way.
Kind of traverse.
Exactly. And sometimes I'd have to read the subtitles, and other times I'd be watching the characters, and I would miss their facial reactions, and I would only see their backs. So I found that to be quite difficult. But I did like the play as a whole.
I think I'm the person who's in the middle. Like, Sherry speaks only English, and Lynn could understand all the languages that were involved. And I understand the English, but I also roughly have an idea of the Mandarin and the Cantonese because of the environment that I grew up in. I gathered enough to know that there were a lot of nuances that were lost in translations. especially the Cantonese dialogues that were kind of...
They were just Cantonese jokes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to translate, and I could understand, I could grasp the phrases and the nuances that was not translated when I look at the screen.
For instance, calling somebody fan cheng is a very specific Cantonese thing, and in the subtitles, it becomes fellas. You know, it's lost in that sense. You know, it's funny if you're a Cantonese speaker. It's funny if you get what they're saying. But if not, you're like, oh, okay. And often you have somebody speaking at length with one static subtitle, and so you know they're saying more than what's on there. I think it would have benefited from just being a Cantonese play, actually.
Often when we go see a play, we are engaged because we want to find out something or that it's exploring a particular idea. What for you was the engagement?
One thing that just came to my mind when you were talking about it is that this play took place in the 20s. And I'd like to research a little bit more about what China was like during the 20s. As an educator, I like this as well because I do teach this text, and one of the projects that I do with my students is they have to create a different version of this star-crossed lovers. And so now to go back to the classroom and to say that I've seen a rendition that does this in a different way might help to engage them a little bit further in developing their own ideas on how the trouble between these two star-crossed lovers could exist.
Tina used a really good word just then. She said that to her it's an exploration of cleverness, right? Pretty much the whole thing behind it is cleverness. And I think Romeo and Juliet's a lot of things. It's a love story. It's a tragedy. It tells a certain story at a certain point in history. It's a lot of things. But I don't think it's necessarily about cleverness. I don't know that that has ever been something that I think about when it comes to Romeo and Juliet. And I don't know that it lends itself well.
When you said cleverness, did you mean cleverness of Romeo and Juliet or cleverness of how to reinterpret it and contextualize it for today?
The latter.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Romeo and Juliet by Seafood Production starts today and runs till March 6th. No performances on Monday and Tuesday. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.